Well, happy Sunday. Happy Sunday to everyone here, everyone joining us online where you are today. We're so glad that you could be worshiping with us. And I have a question for you. Have you ever been startled or had something catch you so completely off guard that you had an unexpected response? Have you ever had that? You ever had someone walk up on you and you're just kind of like, whoa, you know, and maybe you jumped a little? I know that you have. We all have. A couple of weeks ago, Holly and I were relaxing, and one evening we were watching TV, and I was sitting on the couch, and I can't remember what the show was, but I was really into it. Have you ever been really into a show? I was really engaged with what was going on, engrossed with the storyline, and then all of a sudden something unexpected happened in the show, and it made me jump. But here's the thing, I wasn't just sitting on my couch, I was lounging on the couch. I had my feet up, I was leaning back, and I had with me my after-dinner coffee. And when I jumped, I dumped the whole coffee cup all down the front of my shirt. Have you ever had an unexpected reaction? You know, maybe it was accidental. Like I said, someone snuck up on you. You didn't know you were there. Anyone, you're just like skittish and jumpy to begin with? Yeah, some of you. Sometimes when I'm in the office, I make extra noise. Sometimes, you know, I sing or whistle, you know, when I know I'm entering a room just so I don't scare the other staff. You know, maybe it was intentional. You ever had someone pull a prank on you to get a reaction from you? When I was a kid, my mom always said to me, Jeremy, stop being such a tease. I was the older brother, and so I loved pushing my younger brother's buttons, right? Any older siblings in the house, right? You just know. Maybe you're the younger sibling. Where's the younger sibling? You like to push the button. You just know how to get a reaction from your siblings. I just wanted to get them to react, and I found it hilarious, right? Maybe it wasn't someone, but maybe it was something that caused a reaction, right? Maybe it was a teeny tiny little creature. It's funny how grown adults, you know, when they encounter a mouse or a teeny little spider, right? The reaction, some of us just go right through the roof, right? It's amazing the reactions that it causes in us. It's funny to watch how different people react. Right? There's the screamers. Where's the screamers? You're like, ah, you're just always vocalizing, right? Any screamers in the house? Any of like the silent screamers? And the silent screamers are always accompanied by the hand waving. Right? Any of those people in the house, right? Where's all the jumpers? You just jump. Right? Any crumplers? You just like fall to the floor, right? It's funny the reactions people have because often they're very different than their normal, everyday, composed reactions. Like I said, the calm, relaxed, logical people, they cross paths with the tiniest of critters, right? And they react like they're about to get eaten by a lion. Quiet, reserved, almost shy sports fans, right? You get them in front of their team and they're high-fiving everyone in the room and celebrating. They react differently to their team's accomplishments. Kind and loving people, even excellent role models. You get them under a little bit of stress, or maybe you make them a little bit of late and they get a visceral response that's a little different than they normally react. You offend even the saintliest of people when they're behind the steering wheel of the car, right? And you get a reaction. How many know that's why I don't have the little Jesus fish on my car, right? You just never know what reaction you might have, you know? And so you just gotta make sure that you represent Jesus well at all times. How we react is sometimes different than how we'd prefer to react, isn't it? Have you ever had a reaction that you wish that you could take back? Sure that you all have. How we react is sometimes different than how we prefer to react. And we've all had situations that we wish we could do over, that we could act differently, and that we could have a different response, especially when it comes to how we react to people. You know, when we're at our best, we'd all say that we want to act in humble and loving ways towards others. But once in a while, when someone says or does something to us, it pushes our buttons, it gets a reaction. And sometimes the surprise reaction is even a surprise to us, right? Have you ever had that? Where it's like, whoa, where did that come from, right? Where did that response, that reaction come from? You know, it's moments when someone's violated our sense of what's fair and what's right. Sometimes moments when our wishes and desires have been compromised by someone else's. Maybe it's moments where we felt disrespected. It's moments where you reacted and your emotions boiled over, the words spewed out of your mouth, the reactions you later wish that you could take back. How we react is sometimes different than how we prefer to act. And sometimes we react in ways that we wish we could take back. Like the time I was driving to the barber 30 minutes before closing. I was going to get a haircut. Well, actually, I was going to go get half a haircut. Because I'd asked my wife if she would do me a favor and cut my hair. And as she was cutting my hair, my reaction wasn't what it should have been. And so she quit halfway through the haircut. And it was a Saturday night before I had to preach on Sunday. And so how many know on my way to the, I called the barber, I'm like, are you still open? Will you please stay open till I get there? And I regretted my reaction all the way. When COVID came and we were forced to have haircuts, I ensured that my reaction would be differently than it had been the first time. Anyone can put on an act, but how you react often reveals your true heart. You know, it's one thing to act like Jesus when everything's going smoothly, but how do you react when life catches you by surprise? You know, I saw a lot of professions of love online this week, and a happy Valentine's Day to you. I wanted to talk today about reacting in love. 1 Corinthians 14 says, let love be your highest goal. I don't know if you've ever thought about the goals that you've had in life. I don't know if you made a list of goals or you've ever articulated what your goals are. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it says, let love be your highest goal. I want to encourage you today to make love your highest goal, but not just any kind of love. I want to encourage you to love like Jesus. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 27? Luke chapter 6, verse 27. It opens with this phrase, but to you who are willing to listen. This is Jesus talking. How many know it's good when Jesus starts with a disclaimer? Right? How many know when he starts with a disclaimer that you know what's coming might be a little spicy, might be a little hard to take? He says, but to you who are willing to listen, we can see here that he's not going to pull any punches. Are you willing to listen this morning? Are you? Church, are you? You came all the way in the snow. So, like, are you willing to listen today? All right. This is what he says. I say to you who are willing to listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Yeah, okay, Jesus, like, maybe it's not that bad. You know, maybe, you know, this could be tough, but I could learn to let the words of others roll off my back. You know, I could probably learn to respond to others with blessing. But then Jesus continues. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do unto you. There's the famous verse. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. Verse 35 says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid, and then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. You want to act like Jesus. It says, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Okay, wow. Like, that's not feel-good, warm and fuzzy kind of love. That's not like, you know, like, I got a Valentine for everyone who comes across my path kind of love, right? Now, this is not going to be easy as just learning to let harsh words roll off our back. You know, this might actually be, as I consider the scriptures, I think this could be one of Jesus' hardest teachings. The hardest one, I'm pretty sure. See, this is love when you feel you've been treated unfairly. Love when you feel you've been taken advantage of. Love when your sense of right and wrong have been crossed. You ever had your home or your vehicle broken into? You ever had that sense of violation? There's something feeling so violated, you know, when your personal space has been broken into. A few years ago, I woke up on a Saturday morning to find that my car was missing from the driveway where I had parked it the night before. And in its place was a broke down, beat, rusted old BMX bike. Someone had played bigger, better. They traded their bike for my car. My car was found a few weeks later with some of its electrical components stripped out of it. But there's something so violating, right? When you feel like someone's trespassed you and that kind of, how do you respond to that in love? You know, some of us have endured much deeper personal offenses, violations that have scarred and traumatized us deeply. How are you supposed to react to that like a child of God? How do we respond without becoming a doormat where people walk all over us, where we're being robbed blind and taken advantage of? You know, should I just leave the cars and the keys in my ignition? Should I just say, like, have at it, you know? Is that what Jesus is asking of us? Surely Jesus can't be advocating that we give up on the law and, you know, just kind of society descends into some lawless free-for-all. He's not saying that because Romans 13:4 talks about the rule of law and how it's for society is good and how we have consequences for breaking it. You know, at first glance, we might think Jesus is advocating for passivity in the face of evil, but what he's really getting at is something very deeper. Very much deeper. It's about having genuine concern for the good of other people. See, love is genuinely concerned for the good of another. See, what he's really saying here is that no matter what else anyone else is doing, your response and your action should be one of genuine concern for their good. He says you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. The implication isn't that we're just to be doormats, walked all over. But the implication, if we really were to study it, is that the person demanding something from you has a real need, or at least perceives in themselves a real need that they think that you can meet. What Jesus is saying is that love wouldn't refuse to meet a demand that would genuinely be in another person's good and best interest, even when it comes at personal expense. To put it differently, love wouldn't withhold anything that would be in someone else's best interest, even at personal cost. You know, it'd be impossible to find a better illustration of compassionate love than to look at love personified. Look at God himself. In 1 John 4, verse 8, it says, God is love. Would you say that with me? Would you say, God is love? Love. Doesn't say that God is loving. Doesn't say that God is lovely. It says that he is love. Love isn't just an action that God does. Love isn't just an emotion that God feels. It's more than all of that. Love is his very essence. God cannot act outside of love. He's unable. You always say that God can do anything. God cannot act according to outside of love. See, love is the lens through which he sees his creation. Love is the motivation for all he says and does. Love is the disposition of our Savior, and he cannot do life any other way. See, love is genuinely concerned for the good of another. Verse 10 continues, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. In his love for you and I, God the Father withheld nothing to meet our deepest need, to act in our best interest, even at incredible personal cost and expense and sacrifice. God the Father loved us with this love. And look at the Son. It cost Jesus the weight of having the sin of the world placed on his shoulders. It cost him the laying down of his heavenly rights and his divine attributes. It cost him separation from his Father, yet he thought it was worth it to meet your need and to act in your best interest. It cost him the cross. And this is what Jesus says about this kind of love. He says, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. In verse 15, he says that there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. Romans says this, for God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, the love of Jesus is truly unconditional. It's truly sacrificial. It's the deepest kind of love. And if we're willing to listen, and a moment ago we all looked at each other and said, we're willing to listen. Jesus said, if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to make love our highest goal, he wants to show us something about love. He wants to teach us something about love today. And the thing he wants us to know is this, that love reacts to people's needs and not their actions. If you don't get anything else from this morning, I want you to get this. Love reacts to people's needs and not their actions. It's not about what they did, but about what they need. When you're raising your kids, you know, there's a lot of things that our kids do, right? They have a lot of reactions, and we have a lot of reactions to them, right? When a kid hits us, we don't hit them back, do we? Or at least we shouldn't. If you do, don't say so, because that's a whole other issue, right? Right, but we don't respond in kind because when they hit us, they don't need to be hit back. What they need is discipline. We react not to what they did, but to what they need. You know, sometimes we live with people in our house and they act a certain way, and the best interest is not to react to them in kind, but it's to give them some food. Right? Maybe it's to give them a nap. Right? Maybe they're just hangry. We have to respond not to how they acted, but to what they actually need. Right? And maybe you're not seeing the humor in that like I am, but sometimes when people act out a certain way, they don't need us to respond in kind. What they actually need is a hug. You ever felt that to be true? Let me just hug you. Let me encourage you. We don't respond to what they did. We respond to what they need. And as believers, followers of Jesus, love is not optional. John 15 says, this is my commandment. Love each other. Not just love each other, but love each other in the same way that I have loved you. See, as Christians, we're not just sinners who receive the love of Jesus. We're actually called to show love to others too. So how are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to love like Jesus when we can't even control our rage, when people won't let us merge into their lane when our lane is ending, right? How are we supposed to love like Jesus when we can't curb our frustration when our fast food order isn't coming out as fast as we had hoped it would? Right? How are we supposed to love like Jesus when we feel violated and like victims of other people's selfishness and sin? See, it's not enough just to act like Jesus when everything's going smoothly and according to plan. How do we react like Jesus when life catches us by surprise? Love reacts to people's needs and not their actions. How do we do that? I think we have to recondition our reflexes. Recondition our reflex. What is a reflex, right? A reflex is a response to stimulus, right? It's a response that's performed without conscious thought. In 1901, Russian physiologist Ivan Pavlov made an unexpected discovery. He was researching the diet and the salivation of dogs. And in his research, he recognized that dogs would normally salivate at the sight and the smell of food. But what he was realizing is that the dogs had actually begun to associate other repeated stimuli, like the ringing of a bell and the presenting of food. And so, you know, they would start salivating, getting ready to eat when they were presented food. But then every time they would present food to the dogs, they would start ringing a bell. And what he discovered is that the bell ringing eventually got associated in their minds as a reflex that food was coming. And so what would happen is they start ringing the bell, but even when there was no food present, the dog would start salivating as if food was there. They had a conditioned reflex. And I wonder, maybe in our sinfulness, that our love has experienced a conditioned reflex. See, without conscious thought, you and I have learned to respond to people in their actions. See, what people do to us and how people engage with us is how we respond in kind to them. How you treat me determines how I feel about and treat you. That's a conditioned response that's based in our sinfulness and not how God has created us. Jesus is challenging us today, if we're listening, to recondition our reflexes. How do we respond with love unconditionally? How do we respond with love sacrificially? How do we respond with love as we have been loved by Him? Love reacts to people's needs and not their actions. And so what does this look like? Jesus gives us three ways to express this kind of love. And he lists these three expressions. I don't think necessarily that they have to be in this order. I don't know that he was saying that there's a specific order. But one thing that I found is that right attitudes usually precede right action. Have you ever found that? Like, having the right attitude is the first step towards doing what's right. And so I'd start with this: pray for those who hurt you. You've probably heard the saying, hurt people, right? Hurting people hurt people. And instead of perpetuating hurt, we have to learn to end the cycle of sin and offense by taking our hurt to Jesus. When people act towards me in a hurtful way, I can't respond to them in kind. I need to actually take my hurt to Jesus. That's the only way to end the cycle of sin and hurt. What was Jesus' response to the violence and the suffering he endured at the hands of sinful people? How did he respond on the cross? He prayed for them. Now, some of us might look at this and go, yeah, like, I'm praying they get what's coming to them, right? Jesus, like, you saw what they did to me. Would you just bless them with a rash today? Lord, let it be the itchiest kind of rash. Lord, I'm just praying for them, right? We pray those prayers sometimes, don't we? Some of us, we wouldn't admit to it. But listen to what Jesus prayed. Not that they would get what's coming to them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If you've been hurt and you don't know where to start, start with prayer. Start praying for them. Not that they would get what's coming to them. Not praying for them based on what they've done, but pray for them based on what they need. Forgiveness, healing, wholeness. If you're waiting on a feeling to start praying for someone, you're going to be waiting forever. If you're waiting on an apology from someone before you love them, you'll be waiting forever. Jesus said, this is my command. My command, love one another. So we have to start by doing what's right. And so we got to start by doing what Jesus did. And here's an amazing thing about prayer. We see it all the time. Is that even if the other person isn't changed, you'll be changed. Mother Teresa famously said this: I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us, and we change things. Praying for someone else has equal effect on praying for yourself, changing yourself as it does changing them. Pray for those who hurt you. It says, bless those who curse you. Here's something that we could all learn. Watch carefully what comes out of your mouth. Watch carefully what comes out of your mouth. 1 Peter 3:9 says, don't repay evil for evil, and don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. It's what God's called you to do. Not to retaliate with insult. not to be venting, not to be name-calling, not to be talking to your friends and family about how terrible a person they are and how you wish that they would rot in hell. We say that. But we actually think about what that means? To actually think about what that means? Watch what comes out of your mouth. Don't retaliate insults with insult. What comes out of your mouth has more to do with your relationship with God than it does with what someone's done to you. Out of your mouth should come not curses, not insults, but life and blessing and the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." God is the one who's saying, "I'm releasing them from accountability to their actions." Not accountability, but I'm not holding it against them. I'm not withholding love from them because of what they've done. And then he says, "I'm giving you, the recipients of my love, this message to." What is a message? A message is what comes out of our mouth. And it's a message of reconciliation. You can't have insults and cursing coming out of your mouth when it should be the message of reconciliation coming out of your mouth. This isn't an easy message, is it? Jesus warned us it was going to be hard. Bless those who curse you. And it's actually kind of fun when you can actually get in this place. You know, when someone's hurling insults at you and you're just lobbing life back at them. You're like, "You're the worst person I've ever met." Well, you know what? God loves you, right? "I hate you." You know what? "I'm having a hard time liking you right now, but Jesus loves you, and I'm trying my best," right? "You look really ugly on the outside right now, but I know inside you have a real heart of gold, and God wants to." It's kind of fun. It's pushing people's buttons, you know? And then he says this, "Do good to those who hate you." I love this passage. It says, "When you do these things, your reward will be from heaven. And it will be very great. And then you will be truly acting as children of the Most High." You know, we need to look to Jesus to get what the people around us can never give us. He says, when we respond in this way, our reward will be from heaven. I'm never going to get from the people around me what I'm hoping to get anyways. And so I might as well take it to Jesus. I might as well let Jesus flow through me. The famous saying says, an eye for an eye leaves the world blind. Right? An eye for an eye leaves everybody blind. And so our role as Christians isn't to make things just and right and even and to get ours and to get back at people. Our job as Christian believers is to receive the love of Jesus and to help others receive the message of reconciliation. Really what we're trying to do is to open their eyes to what Jesus has done for them. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Here's the real reason. As followers of Jesus, we are his ambassadors. We are his disciples. And when we react to the world in kind, we're not pointing them to the true nature of who our Heavenly Father is. Jesus is calling us not to react to people's needs, not to their actions. And everyone's greatest need is to be pointed to Jesus. When we react in kind, we're actually putting ourselves in the place of obscuring people's view from the compassionate love, forgiveness of Jesus. But when we recognize what they need is forgiveness and wholeness and love and cleansing, it's a different kind of love. Jesus said to those who are willing to listen, "This is what I'm asking of you." I know this isn't Valentine's kind of love, fuzzy, warm feelings kind of love. This is actually deep love. This is the love like Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand all across this room this morning. And my prayer for us simply today as a church is that we would show love like Jesus. It's going to require that we recondition our reflexes. not to respond to people on based on what they've done, but to respond to them based on what they need. And everyone needs to be pointed to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you made it on a snowy Sunday morning. Maybe you're watching online. I want you to know today about the unconditional love of Jesus, the kind of love that Jesus responds to us, not by what we've done, but by what we need. And he sacrificially gives us that kind of love. Today, you don't need to earn the love of Jesus. Today, you can't lose the love of Jesus. Today, Jesus' love is extended freely to you and to me, a free gift of salvation. Free to us, but at enormous expense and sacrifice to him. But it can be yours today by simply saying, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I repent of leading my own life and doing things my own way. Would you help me to receive your love and your grace and your forgiveness today? Maybe you're here and, you know, people have really offended you. Maybe there's some people have done some really terrible things to you. And you say, Jesus, I don't know how I could ever bring myself to love them. I don't know how I could ever extend grace to them. I don't know how I could ever get over this. But in recognizing that we're not responding to what they've done, but responding to what Christ has done for us, we take that hurt, and we take that pain, and we say, Jesus, would you bring healing and wholeness to my life? Would you help me not to see them for what they've done, but would you help me to see them in their brokenness, that in their hurt, they hurt me, that in their depravity, in their brokenness, and what they don't need is for me to heap more shame and guilt and hurt on them, but what they need is the love of Jesus to change and transform them. Would you help me, Jesus, to have that kind of love? And how many know when we love and we respond in this kind of way that the world's gonna look at us with different eyes? Their eyes are gonna be wide open. Something incredible, something that is so revolutionary, something that is so counter-cultural. We're going to open their eyes to who Jesus is and what he's made available to them.